Hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah guys, welcome to the latest episode. How are you doing, Lucy?
I am good. I'm tired. As you can see, the weather is changing.
Clock's gone back,
which was great because I woke up and I was thinking, I had a long sleep. Yeah. Like, what's going on? And then I remember I was like, oh yeah, clock's gone back, but I'm alive. That's all that matters. I'm good. What about you?
Yeah, no, same. So yeah, just it's been a long week, like you said. Just lots of things going on, like not just in sports, but I guess in the world, specifically Nigeria, which is a country that's quite close to my heart. And like the whole end SARS movement, which is currently, happening, and like everyone's kind of getting up to speed with what's going on over there.
Yeah.
Just want to say, like, everybody should keep Nigeria in their prayers
and rest in peace to all of those who lost their lives.
Indeed.
They really it was so much for me that I actually had to mute the hashtag for 7 days.
No, that's understandable,
because
definitely.
I could not continue seeing, you know, like the graphic images. Yeah. And learning about, so it was really, the images and the videos were really disturbing. For me, mainly because obviously I haven't personally faced it, but I know someone very close to me who kind of was in that type of situation, but in Guinea.
Okay.
Which is kind of actually happening right now.
This is the thing, there's a lot going on in
Africa, and right now in Guinea there's like an election, and every time there's an election, the president, you know, he's trying to fight and stay in power because clearly he's not meant to be there anymore. Yeah. He's literally in his 80s. And the last election, you know, was really bad. Yeah, was it the last session? Something like that. And so whenever I see those things, it kind of gets triggering for me as well. But yeah, I really hope everyone, you know, things get changed quickly in Africa in general, in Nigeria. And again, rest in peace to those we lost, and a lot of love and safety to the people in Nigeria.
Indeed,
and well, everywhere in Africa as well.
Well said, indeed. So yeah, let's get into the show. First thing we want to touch on is the... I'd say it's Andy Murray, who's like a fave of ours, I guess.
We told him, on this show, we don't even call him Andy Murray, we call him Sir Andy Murray.
Indeed.
Aight.
And to be fair, Lucy, you actually brought my attention to this.
Yeah.
So the interview in the Times newspaper, which is obviously a British newspaper, with Manavai Washington. Mm. And it was Stuart Fraser who wrote the piece. And in it kind of like highlighted the fact that there's like literally no Black board members on the LTA board or the All England board. And like, yeah, Madhavi Washington basically said that needs to change like instantly if we're going to like see, you know, tennis kind of go away from this whole, you know, white elitist sport that it currently is. And Andy Murray, to his credit, he posted the tweet from Stuart Fraser. The emoji was like a face, like to say that needs. But I don't. How would you explain that emoji that he used?
I can't remember what emoji.
Because it was like,
he
you know,
actually,
like the face of like the frown, like this is.
Oh, like the.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The mouth moving,
yeah, exactly.
like you see,
like trembling.
Yeah. I hope you guys understood what we're trying to say here.
But yeah, and I think he said something along the lines of, "Well, that needs to change." Like.
Mm-hmm.
And Coco Gauff, she was asked about it. We'll talk about Coco later on. But yeah, she was asked about it after one of her matches in Ostrava this past week or last week now. Mm. And she basically said that for someone like him, as in Andy Murray, to call for diversity, it shows what a great ally he is.
Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously, we had this conversation before about like allyship.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole like Black Lives Matter movement, as in like non-blacks,
which Andy has always
been outspoken.
Like, he's always been outspoken when it comes to like women's right, Black people. You know, he's not a fan as well of Miss Court because of the way she's been talking about her sexuality and so on. So listen, Auntie Judy did a good job raising, you know, her boys and stuff, but it's you know what, with me, like, it's nothing to do, like, it's not with Andy, like, obviously I'm more than happy about him, but it's just that in general, like, we all see these issues, which I know they are aware of, but when are we actually going to make that change? Because no, exactly. You cannot tell me you can't find a black person that you can't include in the board to make those changes. You can't tell me that's not possible in this whole of UK. You can't look at me in my eyes and say that you can't make those changes. So there's always these type of talk. It's a bit like, this is a bit different, but you know, like how every year they release a report saying black people are most likely to be searched, stopped and searched in the UK. Every year you're sending me these reports. I know that without seeing those numbers. But when are you actually going to make a change?
Yeah.
It's the same way with this one. Every time you guys are reminding us that there are no black people there, but when are you guys actually going to make a change? So
no, that's well said. I think as well, I think it's for me, it's all well and good like talking about it, like what you're saying, exactly. But it's the actions now. Like, what are we going to do to actually, you know, yeah, improve the situation? And I think kind of talking about it does, to a point, like, help the kind of conversation.
Yeah,
along.
It does. Because I'm all about awareness. Yeah. Because a lot of people always like, oh, it doesn't do anything.
But I think at the same time, like, yeah, there needs to be, like, proper, effective, like, actions put in place to, like, yeah, bring about the change that's needed. So I don't know how that's going to happen. Like, I mean, there are kind of ways, you can apply to be on a board, but then I've also seen some stuff on Twitter basically saying how, like, these kind of positions are never advertised. Like,
but I was about to say, do they actually make it accessible for black people? Because there might be some black people that who want to be on the board,
yeah,
or have an idea of doing something that's relating to them being on the board, but they have no idea how to
get there.
You know, because that's the thing about these, I don't want to say it, but like these white people, that's the thing, is like they want us not to be included so much that they make it harder for us to, you know, like
break through,
be in it. It's a bit like, I don't know much about American politics, for example, but it's only I found out what, like last year, that, you know, people can actually vote for the type of the judges that they want, you know, yeah, like the general whatever, like people, like basically people who are more empowered than even like you begging for the president to make a change in your actual state and stuff.
Yeah.
But it just showed to me how, and I wasn't the only one, obviously black people were in America there as well, also said the same thing. They literally were like, I had no idea I could do that. And it just shows to you how they were not making it accessible for black people to do it, or like poorer people to do it.
Yeah.
It was, that's why, you know, rich white people finding in the way. And that's why you have coons who are out here, you know, just doing whatever and not giving the power to us black people who are out here suffering. So that's the thing, is like, they are probably even asking themselves, oh, how come, you know, we don't have any black people on the board? But it's like, you're not even making tennis alone accessible to us, yet alone the board. So enough of your chit chat, make a change.
I think that, if only it was that simple, but pretty much like that's all we're kind of asking.
That's all we're asking. Yeah. Like, thanks for reminding us something that we know and we're aware of, but are you actually going to bring a black person or not? Exactly. If you're not, just keep quiet.
And for me, I don't just want to see like one, like I want to see a few. No. Like, and
which most like this was going to happen, unfortunately, just put like a black person just to sprinkle him there, just there, and just to make it seem like, oh yeah, we're into diversity. But it's like, you know, that's what a lot of use. But I think a lot of companies and board members and blah, blah, blah are finally slowly seeing the impact of it.
Yeah.
Because I think they are seeing the downfall of so many other companies who have actually flopped when there's been issues. And they have ideas of all white people, and then things just go left. Of course. You're literally like, there's a black issue, and you know, that's the thing, it's even to your own advantage to even like, as much as I don't want to say it, it's an advantage to them as well, because then they don't have to be in that position. Do you get what I mean?
Completely.
Like, if something goes left, they know what to do. They'll be like, all right, let's ask a person who's actually black
exactly
in the room. Although there's been a situation where there's some black people where they've shared that, they've actually have shared their opinion on how to, you know, talk to people from their community, talk to black people, and they shut them out because that's what white people do. But at the end of the day, they always see the end result, and they're probably like, shit, we should have listened to that black person. So
yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. Like,
we'll see. Obviously, shout out to Andy though.
No,
so Andy
always
Murray.
Every time, obviously this is a like LTA issue, so it's like British tennis, but I think the same could be said. I'm not privy to like what's or the makeup of, like, I don't know, say for instance the French Federation. I don't know what the makeup is in terms of like diversity, but I'm going to say that I doubt there are many blacks on...
Oh, French people? Watch out.
Same goes for like other European nations as well. So
I bet you the cleaner is not even black himself, fam.
Don't. So yeah, like this, like you said, like it's just something we want to see, like proper actions being taken, like exactly. Not just like talk.
Yeah.
But hopefully, yeah, we're kind of on the way to seeing that. So yeah, the next topic I want to touch on, or we want to touch on, Taylor Townsend. Congratulations. So yeah, she announced that she's expecting.
Yeah.
I want to say it's due, or she's due in March,
I think so. Yeah.
Which is of next year.
Lockdown, baby.
So I think again, because you brought this to my attention a few weeks ago.
Look at me, guys, moving like TMZ. Look at me.
Lucy, yeah, Lucy's got all the news, all the scoops. And yeah, you said that basically that means she was pregnant when she was playing in the US Open.
Yeah.
And like the US Open.
And that's where US Open doubles. She was there to like the semifinals.
Exactly. So she got to the semifinals of Asia Muhammad.
Wish she won so
Could you imagine? Can you imagine?
That would have been so great.
So it's like, it just caps off like a pretty good year. Because don't forget, also at the start of the year, she won her first ever WTA title.
Yeah, she did.
Asia Muhammad again.
Yeah.
They beat Venus. They beat Serena Williams and Caroline.
Yeah.
Auckland.
I remember. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was the one that Serena won the singles.
Exactly, exactly. So, and then they also, I say they, Asia Muhammad and Taylor Townsend then also went on to win a ITF event. Yeah, it's like a 125K event.
Right.
The Indian Wells doubles title. And that was, I want to say, in March, before like the lockdown COVID thing kicked in.
Clearly, they're great, you know.
They're a great pair. So
to be honest, Taylor as well was a great player. I remember, was it last year where she was playing
last year was a like kind of not breakout, but like it was,
I think, yeah,
it was kind of a breakout, I guess.
I would say it was singles. her breakout so far,
yeah,
because I think she's definitely gonna go
because she got to the fourth round at the US Open.
I remember when she was moving towards the net, it was crazy. Like I literally remember watching her play like last year. I was thinking, yeah, that's when I started becoming like a lot more of a fan of hers as well. Serena loves her as well.
Yeah.
I remember Serena was doing like a Q&A thing on Instagram and they were asking her name some friends with the name beginning the letter T.
Yeah,
and when she said Taylor Townsend, I was like, oh my God. Even Taylor was actually reshared it. She was freaking out. She was like, oh my God. Can you imagine? Like, whole Serena's calling your friend. Next time, guys, can you ask her to start with a letter L? You never know.
Soon.
She might say me.
Soon.
I'm just saying.
But no, like on that as well, it was nice kind of seeing like the like outpouring of like support from like fellow pros, like saying, oh, congrats, and like, yeah. Like looking forward to like kind of seeing you being a new mom and like a new tennis mom. Yeah. And obviously we all know Serena is already that, and like she kind of sets a standard that's like ridiculously high already.
100%. People were definitely using Serena as a guinea pig.
To see
how it is. I remember even Stevens even saying, because I think they must have asked her a question about like her family and whatnot. She literally said like, hey, Serena just came back. She just gave birth. I'm just going to see how she is. But y'all need to remember, y'all are y'all and Serena. Just saying. But on the real, because first of all, pregnancy is very different for like every single woman, and women's body are very, very different.
Oh,
do you get what I mean?
100%.
Like, I don't think a lot of people will be able to even do half of the things that Serena was able to do. So many because she had a lot of health complications when she gave birth to Olympia. And, you know, I feel like even got even a bit worse because after, for example, US Open, you could literally hear her breathe through the camera and stuff.
I don't know if that was like a slight, not exaggeration, but because there was no crowd, so everything was like a much more like pronounced, like
fair
in terms
enough.
Of
That's
like from
point.
The players.
That's a good point.
But
I thought maybe it was a thing where, because what a lot of people don't realise, wearing the mask a lot really affects the way that we breathe.
Yeah.
So I even personally noticed, for example, there was a moment I was bloating a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember when I went to the pharmacy to go get some medicine, he literally even said it might be because of the mask as well. And then I noticed that, I remember there was one day I went out, I was flat completely. I put on my mask. 15 minutes later, I was blowing like crazy. So maybe that has to do... I'm not a medical thing.
Maybe,
I might be making it up. But I'm just saying, like, that's how much COVID has just messed up our entire lives. This shit gotta go.
Darn COVID.
But shout out to Taylor and congratulations to her, and safe pregnancy journey and indeed delivery to her and her babies, because y'all know black women go through the most when it comes to pregnancies. Well said, yeah. So I really hope sadly that, you know, her and her baby stay safe and she just enjoys this beautiful new journey.
Yeah, and it kind of explains as well, because I was wondering, like, hang on a minute, why isn't she playing the French? Because when the French Open draw was like made,
do you think if she was pregnant, if she wasn't pregnant, do you think she would have went?
Yeah, I'm gonna say yeah.
I don't think so.
Why not?
She doesn't have a great record on clay, does she? Because if you think about it, a lot of people who are not that great on clay did not bother to go.
True.
And I don't blame them. Why am I gonna go? It's cold. Yeah. It's I just finished US Open. Like, I don't understand. French Open is all a dickheads, because look what everything the mess that happened. Why am I gonna go? Don't. It's COVID.
Yeah, I mean, we've also got, I don't want to say actually, I was going to say we've got one, what's the expression people say about bad boy piece of information?
I am dead.
I don't.
I am dead.
I'm going to edit this out, but yeah.
You did. I really hope you don't. Listen to me as you're about to edit this out. Do not edit this out at all.
No, we'll just leave that there. But no, like you said, safe journey in terms of the whole pregnancy, Taylor, yeah. And just congrats again, because that's really great news. Next, let's talk about some action. So there were a few events actually last week now. Mm-hmm. Let's start from the WTA tour, which is sadly this is like the penultimate event of the year, or not penultimate actually, because there's one more in December in France. I don't know where exactly, but I know there's something else happening in late December. December, but yeah, sometime in December. But yeah, Coco Gauff, she was in Ostrava, Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the Ostrava Open. And yeah, she basically had to go through qualifying because it was quite a stacked field, like in terms of like the players on the entry list. Mm. And yeah, so she won her two qualifying matches like pretty comfortably. Mm-hmm. And then she faced Katerina Siniaková mm-hmm. of the Czech Republic, mm-hmm. Who was a wild card. And it was funny because before that match, I was thinking to myself, hang on a minute, like, who's the higher ranked player here? Like, mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be Siniaková, mm-hmm. but it was actually Coco Gauff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It just shows, like, the girl's incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, Coco won that match in straight sets.
Oh, nice.
Really good match as well, mm-hmm. like, I thought, in terms of like, the quality. Something I tweeted but then deleted because I made like a grammatical error, but I was just taken aback.
Oh, I saw it.
I was taken aback by like how often Coco is coming into the net.
Yeah.
And like just she's so like confident like with her net play, and like mm-hmm. it goes back to playing doubles obviously because she plays doubles a lot with
Coco. Yeah, she does.
Cassie McNally. Mm-hmm. And also her serve is like working quite well as well, like. She got broken, I think, three times in the first set, and yeah, she held serve in the second. Like wow. She didn't drop serve in the second set. So I was like, okay, that's a nice improvement because obviously we all know the serve kind of crumbled at the French Open.
Yeah. It did.
So, and again, she's 16 years old. So like, I'm never going to be like, oh my god, like there's so much she needs to work on.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, getting like worried about
some people,
certain thing or elements of her game because yeah, like she's a kid, like she's mm-hmm. just literally just finding her feet. Yeah. But yeah, she ended up losing in the second round to Irina Sabalenka, she went on to win the tournament. So, and for me, there's no shame in winning, like losing to the eventual champion. Like,
was that the first? That wasn't the first time playing together, I think.
Yes, exactly. That's a great point. So they played each other literally at Lexington.
Yeah.
And Coco won.
Yeah. Sabalenka
was at revenge.
Okay.
But like,
she was on one. Sabalenka was on one, and she's a good player.
No, she's
well.
Solid. She's absolutely
so
solid.
To her, it's not like.
I loved what she said, and like, I posted it on our socials. She was really complimentary about Coco. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have it up. Like, but yeah, she basically said, "Listen, she's 16 years old. She's playing like unbelievably well. Yeah, like." Oh. She's a tough opponent.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For someone at 16.
As I'm thinking, like, I find it crazy how they see her a little bit as a threat.
It's mad.
She's 16.
It's mad. And like, yeah, that kind of show. Well, that tells you all you need to know. Like, the top players, like rate her. Mm-hmm. Like, so
that's big.
This is what I'm saying, man.
So she's, that's why I've never really been, you know, too scared or too, you know, like when she loses, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, is that, like, you get what I mean?
No, 100%, like 100%. So yeah, that was Coco in Ostrava. And actually, just before we move on, so the next event on the WTA tour calendar isn't until mid-November.
And I swear that's like...
That's Linz in Austria.
Right.
And that Coco won that last year.
But she's not going.
Exactly. So that, it looks like that's... Well, not looks like, that is the end of Coco's year now. And obviously not in our last pod of the year, we'll definitely like preview, or not preview, but like review players like 2020 and like, yeah, just talk about like, you know,
that shit gonna be 10 minutes so,
certain highlights and lowlights, but yeah, shouts out to Coco. But yeah, Linz, the entry list came out for that last week again. Mm-hmm. And Heather Watson, she's gonna be competing over there, so we look forward to seeing Heather.
I think a lot of the Americans are just gonna go back home. Yeah, like, no, can you imagine having to wait?
I think you're
and
right.
It's not like Linz is like a huge, I think, you know, you're right, tournament. So I think a lot of the European players are really much luckier than the American, no, 100%, players, for sure.
100%.
I really wonder how things are gonna be when it's time for the Australian leg.
Yeah, because they're saying there's gonna be like a 2-week quarantine, apparently. So like,
yeah, because Australia are very, very strict.
Yeah,
I think the New Zealand one's already been cancelled. They cancelled it from summer. They were like, oh yeah, you niggas ain't coming. Like, bye.
Stay away.
No coronavirus. Which I don't blame them. They be doing exceptionally well. Like they're hitting the club. They're living life. So I don't blame them at all. But yeah, it's gonna be really interesting to see how they're going to do it. But because of Slam, I guarantee you people are gonna be there from early quarantine.
Yeah.
Is Federer gonna be back? Is Djokovic gonna be back?
I think both of those will be, definitely.
Yeah, Federer, it's time to come back, man. Come on. Like, it's been a whole year. Come on, man. Yeah.
But before we move on, actually, I wanna shout out Robin Montgomery of the USA, and her partner, French lady or French girl, actually, she's 18. Selena, and excuse me for the name, Yasinajevic. So they won the 25k Veeam doubles event last week, and yeah, they basically en route to the final, they beat the third seeds in the quarters and the top seeds in the semis.
Nice.
And then yeah, they basically received the walkover in the final because it's two British girls, I forgot their names, but yeah, they pulled out. I think one of them was injured, so unfortunately,
oh, they go, like, cool. Oh,
yeah,
okay,
unfortunately,
cool.
They couldn't play the final, but yeah, that means obviously Montgomery and her partner Selena are champions. So yeah, again, shouts out to Robin Montgomery. Like, quite caps off a nice year for her, because she's done quite well this year, actually. And yeah, like, it's just kind of great to kind of see her progress, like,
yeah,
over the past few months. So yeah, shouts out. Back on the pro tour now, so the ATP, a few events actually have taken place since we were last on.
Yeah, a lot more ATP events than WTA.
Yeah, sadly, but in terms of, sadly for the women, but yeah, it's been good to kind of see what's been going on. So Felix in Cologne. Man, I can talk about this for so long, but I don't want to spend too much time like dwelling on yeah, the defeats. But he got to the final of the Bet Hulks indoors. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's in Cologne. So he, in that final, he played, or en route to the final, actually, he beat Roberto Bautista Agut in the semi-finals, which is like, that's a top 10 player, yeah, like, it's a pretty good result.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in three sets.
Is he going to make it to the ATP finals?
I don't know. I think right now, the
player... Not Roberto, I'm talking about Felix.
Oh, Felix, no, I don't think Felix is in contention, because he's like 22nd in the world or something. So, yeah, I don't...
He's just been playing so much and so well this year. Thing, yeah. Literally, I actually thought he was going to be in ATP finals.
But yeah, so he, in that final against Sasha Zverev, it's a straight sets defeat, but I thought the level was pretty good, like, in terms of like how he played. Well, the first set especially, I can't remember the actual score, but yeah, I wasn't, obviously it was disappointing to see him lose, but then I can never get mad at like watching him, like, because it's the
oh yeah, no, 100%, he's a great player. I just get anxiety now.
No, don't.
Not only because it's like, you know, like we've been here like before, and it's like raw, like okay, like we got it, and then you know, but I think we can agree there's definitely like a mental block.
Yeah, I think yeah. I don't know
if it's a thing. Do you think it's a thing where he gets nervous when he gets to the final?
I don't know. I even feel a bit like I don't know.
Is it because you feel like it's just literally unlucky because you always get a tough player at the finals?
Yeah, I feel this year definitely the opponents he's faced in finals this year. So
even throughout each tournament, he's always had a tough opponent compared to others.
This year alone, so it was Monfils first in Rotterdam.
Yep, he had Monfils twice, didn't he? Or am I going crazy?
No, it was in the final, it was one piece just the once in Rotterdam. And then Marseille, he had Tsitsipas.
Oh, yeah.
Who I think he's actually got a winning record against Tsitsipas.
But who, Felix?
Yeah, yeah. He's beaten him, I want to say, he beat him last year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he beat him twice last year, actually.
Tsitsipas is a tough player.
Tsitsipas is like top five, like exactly.
Yeah.
And then obviously the latest one now is, Sasha Zverev. So, like, these are, like, top 10
That's
players.
The thing,
like,
yeah. It's not like he's losing to a qualifier or something.
This
or
is what I'm saying. Like, so
it's no guy.
I can never, like, well, for this year anyway, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, like, there's something wrong. Like, there's nothing wrong.
No, you know what? Now that you say, in a way, like, if you actually analyse who he's been playing against each final, it makes sense.
This is the thing. Like, so it makes sense. I think people are just so quick to kind of jump on the fact, oh my God, he's got to the final, he's
lost
again. Like,
y'all so annoying.
It's really irritating. But
you guys are actually... I love you guys, but sometimes the toughness you guys put into these players are actually... Like, you see how Monfils was getting so much...
Don't.
And then I think someone put a list of, like... I think I even retweeted it. I wish I took a screenshot of, like, a list of, like... players who won something this year, and I think Monfils like came out like three times.
Yeah, so he's won.
He won like three, and I was like, wait, so why was everyone giving him shit after COVID?
I know what you're talking. I can't remember exactly.
Because at the beginning of this year, Monfils was doing really good. I think if COVID didn't happen, he would have had a great.
Him and Djokovic were like they had the most wins on the tour, and Rublev, Rublev anyway. Yeah, they had the most wins on the ATP tour.
Didn't Rublev win something?
Yeah, Rublev's been winning a lot.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think if COVID didn't happen, it wouldn't have messed him up.
No, it definitely, like,
Monfils, like, I remember
messed
seeing
up his rhythm.
Like, I was looking forward to so many, like him and Felix and Heather Watson are the people I felt like would have done a lot this year.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily, I don't know, it might not have been a slam, but they would have done like something like just crazy.
I can't argue with that.
Like, I was really looking forward to it, but... coronavirus.
Yeah.
We're in a panoramic. We're in a panoramic.
The correct version or the incorrect, but anyway, yeah.
In the middle of a panoramic.
Yeah, getting back into Cologne. So I also want to shout out the swag band.
Like swag party.
You've been basically performing providing us with like all the entertainment like during the changeovers. No, I've just really enjoyed like listening to it kind of anticipating what's next, because it was kind of nice hearing Wizkid and like Burna Boy at like an ATP tennis event. Like, it's kind of random.
It brings me back a bit of that whole incident, the US Open, and I thought the DJ was black. He played Dirt Off the Shoulders when Serena Williams came up. Guys, I was so convinced. Man. I was like, oh yeah, this guy's a nigga. Like, this is an NY guy.
I love that exchange.
And he found my tweet and he was like, nope. I was like, oh. I was like, sorry.
That's one of my favorite exchanges of 2020. Like, yeah, that was class. But
that's actually pretty dope. That's very different. No, we don't get that.
I really enjoyed like, yeah, watching the performance. And I think the players, well, I know Felix appreciated it because he tweeted but last week saying, oh, like, basically this would be good if we had more of this at like a tennis tournament.
Yeah.
So yeah, shouts out to the swag.
Wait a minute, speaking of Felix,
we're not finished with Felix. We're still
okay, cool.
So yeah, moving on now. So that was the Bet Hulks indoors tournament in Cologne, but they're literally two tournaments back to back in Cologne. Same venue, same sponsors, but a different name. So just last week now, it was the Bet One Hulks Championship. So it's literally like a changing name, but again, same event pretty much. And again, Felix was there for that as well. So he lost in the end in the semi-finals to Diego Schwartzman, and that was a very entertaining match. Like, went to three sets, and yeah, just a pretty high like level in terms of both players. Mm-mm. And I'd never actually sat down and watched like Schwartzman in a while, actually. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of took me back to like, not took me back, but it made me appreciate the fact that like someone of his height is so like just well equipped to kind of like perform or, you know, keep up with a guy. Because I think Felix is 6'4", I want to say.
Why in my head Felix is short?
No, he's 6'4". He's quite a big guy, yeah. And like Schwartzman's like 5'8", 5'9". Like he's one of the shortest guys on tour. So it was like kind of funny watching them like during the coin toss, like to see the height difference. But obviously we all know Schwartzman's a top player. Like he's beaten Nadal this year. He beat Thiem as well at the French Open. Like he's no scrub. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that semi-final was like, obviously after the match, I was not devastated, but I was thinking, man, like this could have been it. Like Felix to win through.
Well, to be honest, I did say to Eugene before, like, you know what? I'm not going to lie. If he's going to lose, highly prefer him losing the semi-final and the finals. A bit like with Serena, US Open this year. Do you get what I mean? Not that I didn't want him to win, but it would have been, for me personally, would have been another heartbreaking, you know, moment for me.
No, I hear you.
I didn't have time to have my heart broken again. You know, like, it is what it is.
I can't, not to cut you, but I can't, again, like, this has not been a bad week for Felix because
he
beat Nishioka in the quarterfinals.
Right.
And Nishioka beat him at the French Open in straight sets. So it was like revenge there. And
I love this type of thing.
This is what I'm saying.
I remember what
I loved about that match, even though it was on a Friday night, like quite late, it was kind of like ruining my Friday plans. But I was so pleased to see him win through because it was like, I think he kind of had it in his mind as well. Like, I need to get this win to, you know, get some revenge back, basically. Mm-hmm, and like, he just stuck to the task and did it in straight sets. So that's why for me, this can't be classed as a bad week or a disappointing week, even though he lost in the semifinals. So yeah, he got to like back-to-back semifinals and like, well, back-to-back week. So shouts out to Felix. He'll be playing in Vienna this week, so good luck to him there. I think he's got to qualify in the first round.
Is that going to be on Amazon Prime?
Should be, yeah. So,
any big players who are?
So yeah, there's going to be quite a few. So like,
definitely Thiem,
Novak as well. Thiem, Tsitsipas,
nice.
Monfils as well. He's playing that. So that's going to be Monfils' first tournament since the French, I want to say. So okay. Yeah, but we'll be posting about that like on the socials, definitely. Yeah. The final kind of like roundup I want to talk about is Francis Tiafoe. So he was in Antwerp, which is now also finished or concluded yesterday. And I want to say it was Hugo Humbert who won the tournament. So he played Alex Dimonor in the final.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up winning. So yeah, shouts out to Hugo Humbert. But yeah, Francis, he had Dusan Lajovic in the first round, who was a sixth seed. Mm. Again, solid player. And like, yeah, Tiafoe played outstandingly well, like won in straight sets. It was like a very business-like display. Like he just kind of knew what he had to do and just basically got the job done.
And
for me, that was like one of a highlight in terms of this year for Francis. Like, I put it up there with the US Open match he played against Fucsovic, because it's just like I said, just very, just business-like. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, just a good, solid performance. But then he fell in the second round to British number one Dan Evans, who got to the semi-finals in the end.
Didn't Dan Evans get rid of his coach or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that broke last week as well. And again, Dan Evans is a pretty good player. Like, he's pretty solid in terms of like his game. Although Francis,
when he's in his bag, he's in his bag.
True,
but he's not. I don't really see him as a threat.
I mean, Francis beat him last year as well.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
he's
so,
not like, there's times like, to me, there's more chances of him not playing as great. But when he plays great, he's really good.
Yeah, and I think that's well put. Yeah. So unfortunately, yeah, Francis lost to Evans in the second round. One thing I also want to say as well, like, quite annoying, the ATP Tennis TV like website, which like, I think it's like £10 a month. So they show all the tournaments like on the ATP tour, but apparently they only show like center court matches, not like, which is quite irritating. So
I remember I saw your tweet about that.
Oh really?
Was it about that one when you were saying how?
Yeah.
Listen, YouTube was ready. He was like, "Hey, I pay money for shit. How you guys are only showing me like half of the?"
No, because it's a bit mad. Like especially now how like we're kind of used to like having. I guess with like Eurosport Player and like Amazon Prime, we've literally got access to every court. Everything, like it shouldn't be that hard. Like in
My illegal self was about to quote tweet him and be like, "You just go on them dodgy website." But you know, I was like, all right, "Let me be a presentable taxpayer."
Because that's the thing, that
non criminal.
The reason why I'm bringing it up is because we couldn't watch Dan Evans versus Francis Tiafoe because it wasn't on TV. Like they didn't have cameras on those courts, which is like.
There was one tournament after COVID. There was that like there was one court that didn't have the cameras.
Really?
Was it? I can't remember. And it was a black player that was playing.
Oh, the US Open.
It was US Open, right?
Yeah, it was Taylor Townsend. Vickery. I think.
I was like, I'm trying to watch it. I was like,
unreal. I don't understand.
That was a very anti-black movie. I don't know what the story was behind that. Clearly, black lives don't matter because I'm trying to watch a match. Hello.
That was definitely odd. But
I
want to see that fixed for next year. Like, obviously, we all know this has been a tough year, but yeah, let's try and fix that for next year. Mm-hmm. Tennis TV, please. Looking ahead now, so we kind of touched on it. It's the Esther Bank Open in Vienna on the ATP Tour. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like I said, Gael Monfils.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, he's there. He's got Pablo Carreño Busta in the first round. That's going to be quite tough. Carreño Busta.
He's pretty much in
good form. Like I said, Felix starts against the qualifier.
That's all right.
In the field, basically Novak's there, like you said. Dominic Thiem, Tsitsipas. I think Rublev as well. So like, it's a pretty good Berrettini. It's like some top players there because obviously they're looking ahead or preparing for the Paris Masters, which is like the last like main event.
Yeah.
Before obviously the ATP Finals, but yeah, so we've got that coming up.
Sorry, I think they should have made an effort to make still the WTA Finals happen.
It's really disappointing, but then it just shows.
I get what they're trying.
There's a lot of politics involved, clearly, because. To me, that's a logical thing to do, like combine the event in terms of have both.
They could have had it in London.
Exactly.
Because it's not like there's even like fans allowed.
That's what I'm saying, exactly.
Like,
but
rules and stuff.
I don't know if it's like a sponsorship thing or I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, there's probably some behind. Probably the agents are like, no.
But no, that would have been amazing.
But
it would have been such a nice way to kind of end the year, like this messed up year we've had. Like bring the whole thing together, like in one big.
Or
final.
Maybe they were not that bothered because, for example, most top players are not really like European. For example, the first number one player is Barty.
True.
Osaka, I don't think she would have flew all the way to London for it.
I want to say.
Well, to be honest, yes. Last year she pulled out, I think, because of an injury. If I'm correct.
No, she played, but yeah, and she pulled out during the tournament. You're right.
It's like the end of the year after that. So she's like, I got my time. And I pulled out, you know, I was standing up
shouts out to Osaka, because I did see, I'm not big on Twitter, but I did see she retweeted something to do with SARS.
And I thought, again,
that's just this girl. She can do no wrong. She can do absolutely nothing wrong.
She is chilling and enjoying life. She was enjoying her birthday in Turks and Caicos with friends and her boyfriend. Yeah. Listen, she's doing her thing, girl. You go and enjoy. Black women deserve to enjoy. So go and enjoy.
So, that kind of wraps up now, Lucy, which is like, kind of breeze through that.
It's not been a crazy week.
I do want to shout out some people though. So I clocked it like quite late on, but we've had people review our podcast on iTunes.
So amazing.
So I want to shout out Mylene McBride and R.I. Like, you didn't leave your name, so it's just R.I. here. But yeah, you guys left us our first like ever reviews on iTunes, so we appreciate you. And also I want to shout out Chad, aka CC Smooth, on Instagram and Twitter, for including us like among a host of like other podcasts, or tennis podcasts anyway, who are, in his words, putting in that work. We appreciate that. And yeah, like, just
yeah, thank you guys for the support.
We love like all the interaction. Like, it's just, it means a lot, and like, mm-hmm. we see it all, definitely. So
100%
keep it coming. And yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much wraps up. Lucy, if there's anything else you want to say,
stay safe.
Most def.
Keep protected. It's getting cold out here.
Winter's officially here.
Oh, it's a joke. And yeah, stay tuned to our tweets and our posts. Subscribe, like, rate, review, suggest, anything, guys. Just keep on showing your support, and thanks for listening to this quick episode.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, guys, cheers for listening, and until next time.